Now this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of the Pharisees, the king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods and walked in the custom of the nations, whom the Lord had driven out, because the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings and of Israel, which they had introduced. The sons of Israel did things secretly which were not right against the Lord their God. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtowers to fortified cities. They set for themselves sacred pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense on all the high places as the nations did, which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. And they did evil things, provoking the Lord. They served idols, concerning which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do these things." And yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah throughout all his prophets and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law, which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you through my servants and prophets." However, they did not listen, but stiffened their neck like their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he made with their fathers, and his warning with which he warned them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do like them. Verse 16, they forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made for themselves molten images, even two calves, and made an Asherah, and worshiped all the host of heavens, and served Baal, or Baal. And then they made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire, and practiced divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. None was left except the tribe of Judah. But notice what Judah did. The text says, also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs which Israel had introduced. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel's and afflicted them and gave them into the hands of the plunderers, until he had casted them out of his sight. That was a very lengthy read. But you know, after carefully reading this text, it is apparent to me that the children of Israel were overtaken by the world. Would you agree? If you looked at the text, it says that they what? They followed the customs of the surrounding nations that were around them. Verse 15 tells us that they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the nations which surrounded them. And verse 16 says they forsook all the commandments of God. You may be wondering, why did Israel fall? Well, let me tell you. They had let the world overtake them. And as spiritual Israel today, we are facing the exact same problem. Would you agree? That is overcoming the world. When talking about the world, I'm not speaking of the earth where we live in. I'm talking about the systems and the customs of this world. Now, the word world in our Bibles in the Greek is the word cosmos. Now, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, one of its meanings is the ungodly multitude, a mass of men alienated from God, therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. Now, this word is used by Jesus throughout the Gospel of John. For example, John 7 in verse number 7 says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." John chapter 15 and verse number 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Look at John chapter 17 and verse number 15. As Jesus is praying for the disciples, he says to the Father, I ask you not to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Now, as long as we are living in this world, we are going to be exposed to its evil and terrible influence. John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16 says, all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of God, but it is of the world. Now, many of you know I came from the world. I've only been a Christian for about 6 or 7 years now, and there is one thing I can tell you, that this world has nothing to offer but death. But the life that Jesus offers is eternal. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. And if we as Christians would fully embrace that, John 14, 6, we wouldn't be so easily enticed by society and its culture. Think about it. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. But the prince of this world, who is Satan, would try to have us to believe that the Messiah is not the way. Christ said that Satan is the father of lies and a liar from the beginning. You know, Satan has lied to the world and convinced it that there are other ways to eternal life and other truths, but there isn't. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the only way. And when we decided to clothe ourselves in Christ, that was the day, my friends, when we overcame the world. But you see, our lesson tonight is about how do we continue to overcome the world as Christians. Overcoming the world requires faith, love, and abstinence. Our faith in God should cause us to love his commandments. And our love for him should cause us to abstain from idols. It's a chain reaction. When our faith is grounded in the teachings of God, it will cause a deeper love for his commandments, which will then cause us to avoid idolatry. Let's get right into the sermon. Requirement number one, faith. When it comes to our faith, everything that we believe hinges on the teaching and the doctrine of Christ. Now, the word doctrine means to teach or instruct, and we have been taught the doctrine of Christ, the entire body of truth as described in the Bible. This would include concrete facts about our Lord Jesus Christ, how he was God in the flesh, how he raised the dead, healed the sick, the lame, and the blind, how he died for the sins of the world, and how he was resurrected, and how he ascended into heaven. But the doctrine of Christ doesn't end there. It also includes the apostles' teachings. Everything that they taught contained truth about Jesus Christ, down to salvation, worship, and the church. Now I'll submit to you this evening, my friends, if we want to overcome the world, we must stay grounded in the faith. Daniel is a great example, of someone who did not allow the customary practices of King Nebuchadnezzar and Darius to uproot him from his faith. As a matter of fact, he held on to it while under pressure. You know, one of the best examples we have, in my opinion, is in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. The text tells us that Daniel always prayed to God 3 times every day. 3 times every day, and he bowed down on his knees to pray and praise God. Even though Daniel heard about the new law, he still went to his house to pray. He went up to the upper room in his house and opened the windows that faced toward Jerusalem. Then Daniel bowed on his knees and prayed just as he always had done. My friends, Daniel was surrounded by people who did not know God. He was surrounded by people who did not love God, and he held on to his faith in a world that was so opposed to the God of heaven. He didn't tolerate any of the beliefs while in captivity, in the message which he had received from God as an Israelite remained in his heart. Let me tell you, as Christians, our faith is based on the message. And that message is truth. And if we allow society and culture to influence us, the basis of our faith will shift from Christ to the world. We cannot allow the world's teachings about God, religion, and morality to infiltrate the church. You know, unhealthy teaching goes all the way back to the first and second century and even further than that. But let's examine, if you will, what our brethren in the first century and the second century had to face during that time. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 for me, if you will. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse number 6. Now, keep in mind, Paul is writing to Christians. And he goes to say in verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who had called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, and I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. Now, the word deserting, my friends, means to fall away from one thing to another. In other words, that false gospel had triumphed over the Christians in the book of Galatians. And as a result, they gave up the doctrine of Christ, which they had received in the beginning, to go after the world's doctrine. Now, in the book of 1 John, you have brethren in the second century dealing with Gnosticism. John mentions in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 26 that these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 26. In chapter 3, in verse number 7, he goes on to say, little children, make sure no one deceives you. Now, during this century, Gnosticism believed and taught that salvation could be gained through some other type of secret knowledge outside of the Bible. And let me tell you, that crashed with biblical Christianity. Their belief about God, humanity, and salvation and conduct did not match the doctrine of Christ nor what the apostles were teaching. Now, the doctrine of Gnosticism caused some Christians in the second century and even in the first century to live and think a certain way, which uprooted them from their faith and the convictions that they had from the beginning, which they heard from the Word of God. You know, it's like what we see today. People being swayed by denominationalism, being tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, and giving up their belief in the doctrine of Christ for man-made traditions and teachings. And as a result, my friends, they become infatuated with how the world operates. For example, the world will tell you that it is totally fine to worship God any way you please, as long as it is right in your heart. The world will say it's all right to live any way you want, because God is an understanding God. He will forgive and he will forget. Well, we know that's not true, because 1 John tells us that we cannot claim to love God and yet continue to walk in darkness. The world will also try to tell us and convince us that we don't have to go to church on Sundays. You know, Sundays are fun days now. You know, live it up. But my friends, this is the world. And it pains me. It pains me when I hear and see brothers and sisters in Christ being overtaken by the world. It pains me to hear when fellow saints are giving in to the world's practices and beliefs, and they're turning their ears and their hearts away from God to follow the world. You know, as believers, we are instructed to guard the faith which we have and to stand firm in sound doctrine. And the only way this can be accomplished is by constantly feeding our souls with the words of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. But once again, brothers and sisters, we cannot allow this world to uproot us from our faith and belief in his word. Listen to what John has to say in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. He says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, which is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, overcoming the world will require us remaining faithful and holding fast to our faith. And with a strong faith, we will have victory over this world. Requirement number two is love. If we want to overcome the world, we must love the commandments of God more than anything else. Now, this concept of loving God and his commandments is seen in the Old Testament with the children of Israel being admonished by God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and starting in verse number 5. The Lord himself has said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and they shall talk to them when you should talk to them about this when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be frontals on your foreheads. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. You know, church, I find it amazing that God mentions the exact same thing verbatim in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. Why is that? Why is that, you think? I'll share with you this. When we allow God's word to be impressed upon our hearts, there will be no room for worldly nonsense. Am I right? When God's word is truly pressed upon our hearts, there will be no room for worldly nonsense. In other words, when his precepts are followed and when his word is cherished, we will be able to resist worldly influences. John in his letter tells us, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God's word is not heavy to those who love it. And there is nothing grievous about the word of God. As a matter of fact, when an individual loves God's commandments, their burdens become lightened. You know, there was a 9-year-old boy who carried his crippled brother back and forth to school every morning and afternoon. And he was asked by his friends, do you ever get tired of carrying your brother back and forth from school? And this little boy replied, he said, I never get tired of carrying my crippled brother back and forth from school because I love him. And I'm going to continue to carry him back and forth until I can. My friends, that is the same type of attitude we should have when it comes to the word of God. Like I mentioned before, God's word is not heavy to those who love it. Because those who love him know that his word provides strength when overcoming the world. But you see, those who think God's word is a burden really don't understand what it means to love him and keep his commandments. You see, these type of individuals have been overcome by the world and are tolerant of sin. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5 says, realize this. That in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossip, without control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Why is it that you think the Apostle Paul said avoid such men as these? Because he knows if we associate ourselves with the world, that our good Christian morals will be corrupted by bad company. That's what he knew. And quite frankly, we ought to be aware of the same thing. Because we do not want our love for the commandments of God to be corrupted by the world. You see, the love of God means that I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to submit myself to his word, and I'm not going to tolerate sin or anything else that can hinder me from obeying his word and keeping his commandments. As a matter of fact, his word should be our only standard of living, not the world. We should not allow this world to tell us how to live and act. We must overcome the world, not be overcome by it. We cannot be overcome by racism, my friends. We cannot be overcome by gossip. We cannot be overcome by lust. And the list can go on and on and on. You know what is in the world. We cannot be overcome by those things as Christians. We cannot allow this world to triumph over our love for God and his word. You know, I can't help but to think about Moses. Here is a man who loved God more than the riches of this world. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 for me, if you will. Let's look at verses 24 through 26. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking toward the reward. Now, Moses realized that following God and his word was more valuable than what Egypt had to offer. Am I right? But let me ask you, do we consider the word of God more valuable than what the world has to offer? You know, it is so important for our spiritual state to love God and keep his commandments if we want to overcome this world. So how much do you love his commandments? How much do you love his commandments when you're surrounded, if you will? I'm sure many of you are in the work field and are surrounded by people who are not Christians. How much do you love his word when you're being tempted to engage in unwholesome conversations among your coworkers? How much do you love his word when the temptation is right there? How much do you love his word? How much do we love the word of God? If we love God's word, we ought to live it. Am I right? His word should effectively work in our lives. It should show itself operative. When you are living God's word, you will stand out, especially in the society we live in today. So to have victory over the world, my friends, we must love God's commandments more than anything else. More than anything else. Our last point is abstinence. If we want to overcome the world, we must withdraw ourselves from modern day idolatry. Idolatry is defined as extreme admiration, love, or reverence for someone or something. Now, we know in the Old Testament, the children of Israel worshiped images made by human hands. And that their lack of faith in God and his word had caused them to build a golden calf, Exodus 32. I mean, they literally gave themselves over to worshiping an image and other deities. Now, there is no excuse for worshiping idols whatsoever. We know that Israel had been influenced by Egyptian religion and the Canaanite religion to worship idols. And God did strongly advise. He warned them in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall make for yourself, you shall not make for yourself any image in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, notice this, am a jealous God. So in the Old Testament, we know the children of Israel were overtaken by idolatry. And idolatry is of the world. But we see this type of idolatrous behavior in the New Testament. Paul had to warn those in Corinth not to be idolatrous in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 14. He warned them not to be idolaters. He also had to tell those in Colossae in chapter 3 in verse number 5 to consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, and evil desires and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And then John closes his letter in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 21. He says, little children, keep yourself from idols. If we want to overcome the world, we must guard ourselves from modern day idolatry. Anything that we decide to habitually place before God is idolatry. Would you agree? Anything that we habitually place before God is idolatry. Now, I know this may sound grim, but hear me out. In our culture, what are our idols? Money? Is money your idol? Do you have your eye on the almighty dollar, or do you have your eye on God? For some people, sports are their idol. They make that a religion nowadays. And social media. You see, when we put those things before God, we are giving the world what they want. We're giving Satan what he wants. And we're allowing the world to triumph over us, and some probably don't want to admit this, but it's true. Just pay attention to people's actions. Putting objects before God is not how we as Christians overcome the world. Putting stuff before God is not how we overcome the world. But putting God and keeping him first is how we will continue to defeat the world. This means God should be number one in our lives, hands down. Not money. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about that. Those who desire to want to get rich. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9, he says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. You know, there have been some people, believe it or not, who decide to choose money over God. In other words, my friends, they choose to work, go to work more, miss church, habitually miss worship more so they can make more money and build their bank accounts. Yes, people do that in the Lord's church because they're so focused on money. So they miss worship just to build up their bank accounts, just to save money. When we know that the word of God tells us that that stuff does not matter. It is better for us to store up treasure where? In heaven rather than on earth. Then you think about sports and social media platforms like Facebook. You know, some people spend more time in Facebook than they spend in this book. And they wonder why they can't overcome certain issues in their life. They wonder why they can't overcome the world. Because they're spending so much time doing this rather than doing this. We become so accustomed to the world. Like I mentioned before in a devotional, that we sometimes forget who we ought to be pledging our allegiance to. And that is God. Folks, we live in a world that is so enticing, I know. And it is easy to get lured away, but let me tell you, we can't let the world win. We must overcome the world with faith, holding to our belief in what the Bible teaches, and we must overcome the world with love. Having a deep admiration for the commands of God, and we must overcome the world with abstinence by abstaining from modern day idolatry. We know that Israel was brought out of Egypt and they failed to hold on to the teachings of Almighty God. And church, many of you this evening have been brought out, or you have been delivered from sin through Christ. And let me tell you, we cannot abandon his statutes. If we want to overcome the world, we must remain steadfast in being faithful, loving his commandments and abstaining from idols. How will we continue to overcome the world as Christians? By being faithful, loving his commandments, and abstaining from modern day idolatry. Let us pray. Jehovah God and Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us in this life. We thank you for your word, and we pray, Father God, that we will cherish your word as we should. We pray, Father God, that we will live your word each and every day of our lives. We know at times, Father, that this world can be so enticing and influencing, and it can be hard at times to live, but I pray, Father, that we will continue to hold to our faith, that we will continue to love your word and abstain from the idols in this world. Father, be with us as we depart from here, as we come back, Father, on your day to worship you in spirit and in truth. And it is in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.